Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We're in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to cover verses 18 through the end of the chapter this morning. Tell you what, can we stand as we honor God's Word, the reading of God's Word? If we could do that this morning, that would be good. All right, I'll start there in the middle of this run-on sentence at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. What a great prayer. What a fabulous prayer. Tad, ask God to bless the word, would you?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to You, thanking You for the day that You've given us, for allowing us to come and worship You, dear Lord, for all the churches that are opening up, and just ask that You open our minds and our hearts to the word that is being preached.
Yes, Lord.
That somebody might come to know You.
Yes, Father.
In the name of Christ, amen.
Thank You, my brother. Amen. Please be seated. Now, you remember last week we listened to this prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, and we learned that God wants us to know Him better and better and better. You remember that? Okay, this is a dialogue, remember, y'all? You remember that? We learned in that prayer that God wants us to know Him better and better and better. And then this morning, as we dive a little bit deeper into this, we begin to understand Paul's prayer request that the Ephesians might be enlightened. And more specifically, that the understanding of their hearts might come to realize and recognize and know the spiritual blessings that were theirs as the children of God. You remember we started counting our spiritual blessings last week? And aren't we the richest folks on the planet?
Yep.
Whoo, my goodness. And so we're going to continue with that thought this morning. Matter of fact, I've entitled the sermon, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Part 2. Okay? So if you weren't here last week or you didn't get to watch online, you can catch up real quick this morning. Tell somebody, I can't wait. All right, now that we've, I think we're all on the same page. Let me just kind of introduce what we're talking about. I'm just so excited about what we're going to learn together this morning. Woo! Here's the deal. Now, as there are three incredible truths from verse 18 all the way to the end of the chapter. Three incredible truths that we're going to look at and learn about this morning. And the Word of God, well, God touches on every single one of the greatest needs of our life through these three great truths. And here they are. I'm going to give them to you up front. One of the greatest needs that we have is for our lives to be filled with meaning and purpose. Why am I here? Everybody's asking that question. Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is my Why am I here? Are y'all with me? So that's the first truth we're going to look at. And then the second truth is everybody needs some sense of self-worth. Who am I? Where did I come from? Well, the Word of God's going to answer that question for you today. And your heart is going to be filled, your understanding is going to be filled with a great sense of self-worth. You're going to learn this morning that I am somebody. I can't wait to give it to you now. Y'all, you just get, you know, you don't have to entice me much this morning. And then the last thing is, I think all of us need to know that we're going to have the resources that we need to do what God wants us to do in this life. So those are three of our greatest needs. And the Lord meets every one of those needs. And so I want us to look at, open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my understanding, part two this morning. Okay? So let's take a look at them one by one. Now here's the first truth, and it's in verse 18, that God reveals purpose for our lives. Remember that great need I touched on? Why am I here? What is my purpose for being here? Well, the Word of God answers that. Look at verse 18 again. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. How do you spell that word know? Not N-O, what? K-N-O-W. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. The hope of His calling embraces the eternal purposes of our great God. What is the hope of His calling? What is the hope of His calling? Well, God has called you to His purpose, and that is your hope. If you have your Bible or your smartphone or a tablet or whatever, just flip over to Romans chapter 8 for a minute, and I want to just read this verse of Scripture. We've read it together before many times. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And if you don't have a Bible, Ellen's got it, got you spoiled rotten. She's got it in front of you on the screen, okay? And we know that all things work together for good. Let me read that again. And we know that all things work together for good, right? Y'all with me so far? Now listen, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whew, I've said a mouthful already. Therein lies the purpose of God's calling to us. Hope is not something that you wish for when you're talking about Christ and the things of Christ. Hope is rather a confident expectation. You see, if you're in Him today, you've got hope. If you're in Him today, you've got hope, and it's something that you don't just wish for. It's something concrete, because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We're caught up in something that's really so big this morning. When you're talking about the purpose of God for my life, His calling, it's hard to wrap our little finite minds around it. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And when you come to Christ, you are called according to His purpose. You know who you are and what you are. The Scripture over there in Romans says that we are predestined. In other words, God's purpose is to conform us to the image of His Son. God is making us and molding us and melting us into the person of His Son. And one of these days, the Bible says over there in 1 John, we're going to be like Him. That's God's overall overriding purpose, is to make us more like Christ. That's what He's doing in COVID-19. He's making us more like Jesus. That's what He's doing through all of this division and stuff that we're encountering. All of the experiences in life that we have are working according to God's purpose in my life to make us more like His Son. Are you beginning to understand that? Now you say, well, again, what is the hope of my calling? What is God's purpose for my life? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you'll read your Bible, you'll find God's purpose. Hey, where's Billy Walker? I thought he would jump up and start running. Over and over and over again, every Sunday, Billy tells you, get in the Word of God, read the Bible, study God's Word, because it is there that you will find your purpose, God's purpose for your life. Now, how many of you know Jeremiah 29? Well, if you don't know it, turn there with me. If you know it, stand up and quote it. All right, Jeremiah 29, listen to this. Woo! Verse 11. Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the thoughts, now this is God speaking here, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will, here's that word again, call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Is it starting to sink in? If you will call upon him, he will listen to you. And then look what verse 13 says. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. You see, God wants to reveal his purpose to us. He wants to reveal his calling to us. That's our hope. And in order to understand exactly what his purpose is for your life, you need to get into the Word of God. You'll find his purpose in his Word. God's still speaking today, amen? And we not only have his Word, the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God. And so God's not going to play hide and go seek with his purpose for your life. He will show you, he will tell you what that is. That's the hope of your calling. On the other hand, if you don't know Jesus, listen to what Ephesians 2:12 says. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You just think about all these Clarksvillians today who do not have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have no hope. Oh, they think they've got things all together. And they're making money and they're after the stuff that only money can buy, and they're raising families just like we are, and they're going to and fro upon the earth. But without Christ, there is no hope. Have mercy. And so God is telling us through his Word that he wants to reveal his purpose for our lives. And the overall purpose, I can share a bunch of things with you that God's proven to me in my life that he's working out in my life. The call to preach, the call to pastor, the call to minister, but we don't have time to do that. But I want to tell you, if you just get in God's Word, he'll reveal his purpose and his plans for your life. And by the way, if you'll go after him with all of your heart, I double dog guarantee you, you'll get it. He said, if you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with half of your heart. Oh no, don't get Baptist on me. Go after him with all of your heart. All of your heart. And then he'll reveal his purpose for your life. Isn't that a great word today from God? Here's another one. Woo! Here's the second truth. God receives pleasure. God receives pleasure from our lives. That's an amazing truth. Think about that. God receives pleasure from... Where'd you get that, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at the latter part of verse 18. It's all there. That we might know what is the hope of his calling. Now listen to this. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Now verse 11 plainly tells us, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And so we have this inheritance in God. But did you know that verse 18 tells us that God has an inheritance also, and it's us. Think about that. God's inheritance has to do with us. He receives great pleasure from us, from our lives. Now, let me put it like this. When we got saved, when you became a follower of Christ, when you became a Christian, we got God and God got us. Let me ask you a question. Who got the short end of the stick? You understand that, right? I mean, there's nothing in me, there's no merit in me that deserved what God did for me. There ain't anything, the Bible says there's none good. And when you apply my goodness and examine my goodness according to His goodness, I come up far short. There's none good. There's none that seeketh after me. But God, out of His great love and His mercy, whoo, somehow, God's heart is so big. His love and His mercy are infinite. And He reached down and has saved some of us. I'm praying that He saved everybody in the house today. And before you leave here, you're going to get an opportunity to be saved. His grace, His mercy. When you start thinking about God's love and His mercy and His grace, it defies all logic, doesn't it? And reasoning. I mean, y'all don't know me. Not really, but God does. And He knows how prideful I am. And He and my wife know how impatient I am. And God knows how greedy I can be. And how envious and jealous. And yet God just chose to pour out His salvation in my life. Oh, the love and the grace and the grace of Almighty God. Now, God takes great pleasure in us. Does this do anything for y'all this morning, knowing that God received, we are His inheritance? I mean, that's a fabulous statement. And so for us to walk around and say, oh, I'm just not worth anything. I'm never going to amount to much. That's a lie from the pit of hell itself. You are God's inheritance. You are God's blessing. And he receives pleasure from our lives. That blows me away. Now, God, how many of you know God doesn't make any junk? I tell our kids all the time, you're not some mistake. You're not some mishap. God has placed you here for His purposes, and He wants to take pleasure in your life. How do you know all this? Well, somebody in here is going to get this right now, and it's going to blow you away. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. Look at verse 7. Now, watch this. Don't miss this. Lean in, everybody. I want you to get this. Ephesians 2 and verse 7 says that in the ages to come, we're talking about eternity future, in the ages to come, all right? Are y'all with me so far? That He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. In other words, from time to time, in eternity, in the ages to come, God's going to show up and show out. What's He going to do? He's going to show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let me just unpack that real quickly for you. In eternity future, in the ages to come, when all God's children finally get home, when we're there, He, from time to time, whenever He wants to really just show off, you know what He's going to do? Look at old Charles Barham over here. Look at old Pam Ketch over here. Look at Bubba Osborne over there. Look at Coach Gregory. You see what I did with them? Do you see what I did with them? I extended my kindness towards them. And look, they're here. You see, God does receive pleasure from our lives. And listen, folks, you are God's treasure house of blessing. You are one of God's assets. Somebody say amen. You're not a piece of junk. You're not some piece of garbage. Don't you believe the lies of this world? So we are of incredible worth to God. That's an amazing truth I think a lot of us forget from time to time. And look at verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. People trying today figure out who's head of the church. It's not the pastor. It's not the music man. It's not the deacons. Jesus is the head of the church. And we're the body. He's the head, we're the body. The church is the body of Christ. And look what it says. He says, which is his body, that's us, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus Christ is Lord of lords. He's King of kings. He is the head of this universe. He's the head. We're the body. And he is incomplete without us. Can you imagine a head without a body? Wouldn't that be kind of strange? That'd be almost freakish, wouldn't it? Can you imagine a body without a head? That'd be even worse. Well, Christ would be incomplete without the body. And so he finds fullness in us. Is it coming true for you? God receives great pleasure from our lives. Okay, turn that frown into a smile. God receives pleasure from your life and mine. What a great, great truth. Here's the final one, and it's in verses 19 through the end of the chapter. God releases power in our lives. Look at verse 19. Now, there's four words for power that Paul uses here in verse 19. Four different words for power. You remember in our How to Study Your Bible time, any word that's repeated, any phrase that's repeated, God's trying to tell us something. Listen to this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? That's the word dunamis. That's the word we get our word for dynamite from. Toward us who believe, according to the working, that's the word energia, which we get our word energy from, of his mighty, that's the word kratos, which means strength, mighty strength. And then there's the word power, ischus, which means exceedingly great power. So let me read it again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? And so what Paul's doing here, there, he's using every word in the Greek language for power in order to tell us that there's power available to live the Christian life. Friend, there's power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. What kind of power? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Look at this. Don't miss this. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly power. There is resurrection power available to live the Christian life. Resurrection power is the greatest power in the universe. I mean, it's greater than any kind of power. Atomic power pales in comparison. Hydrogen power pales in comparison. Manpower. All that stuff is powder puff power when it comes to the power of resurrection. Resurrection power is what we have available in us, for us, and through us to live for Christ so that we might accomplish his purpose and his plan for our life. You see how all this is fitting together? Whoo, mercy. Now, I know I've had all week to look at this and y'all just now getting it, but have mercy. God has, you know, we don't have to live with this snap, crackle, and pop power that most of us exhibit. We've got resurrection power. And that's the same power that got Jesus up from the dead is available for us. Look at your neighbor and say, wow. Isn't that great power? Whew. So I want you to just think about this with me. On that first Easter morning, those old soldiers began to shake. And that tomb began to shake, actually, and the soldiers began to rattle, and that stone began to roll. And the strongest power in this universe, Jesus got up from the dead, never to die again. I mean, that's why we can sing every Easter, and this morning also, up from the grave, he arose, a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives how long? Forever with his saints to reign. Jesus Christ is alive, and he is well. He's at the right hand of the throne on high, and he's offering and infusing his people with resurrection power in order to live the Christian life. And then 40 days after his resurrection, after he had appeared to all these different people so that they might understand he really is alive, you know what Jesus did? He gathered his disciples there on the Mount of Olives, and he gave them their last instructions, which are our instructions, by the way. It's the Great Commission. And he raised his hands toward heaven. And all of a sudden, this law of gravity was broken, relaxed, or suspended. And he summoned his heavenly escort. It was a chariot of deity. I believe it's the same cloud that guarded and guided the children of Israel for 40 years through their wilderness wandering. And it came for the Son of Man. And Jesus rose and headed towards the gates of pearl with sin, death, hell, and the grave chained to his chariot wheels. Can you imagine the reception when he showed up at the gates of pearl? Can you imagine all those angels? I mean everywhere. Oh man, Jesus is now back to his where he came from. He's in heaven and he marches up. You know, there's only one street in heaven. Have you figured that out? All these songs we sing about the streets of glory and the streets, there's one street. It's Main Street. And he goes up Main Street to the throne and sits down on the throne of the universe. And the Bible says that he is above all, that powers and principalities are now subject unto him. And everything is beneath him, and he is over all. Demons shudder when you bring up his name. I mean, kings and queens are going to bow. Oh, have mercy. He is the one who fills this universe. And here's what he wants to do. He wants to fill your life and mine with resurrection power to do what only he can do through you. Well, I want to get some of that power, Brother Cal. How does it come? Or there's a little word in the Bible called faith. And faith is the switch that turns that power on in your life. Back during World War II, there was a little town out in Texas. And back in the day, you know, they used to have these schoolhouses that they would build, you know, for the students. And in this little Texas town, there was a fairly decent sized schoolhouse, and there was about 300 children in that school. But one day a tragedy happened. A fire broke out in the schoolhouse, and 263 children died in that fire. But something worse than that even came to fruition when they began to study why that fire broke out. What they discovered was that the school had one of the best sprinkler systems of their day. And unbelievably, the sprinkler system was never connected to the water supply. And I think that's what happens to a lot of believers. We have this power that's available to us. And the switch, if you will, that connects us to that power is faith. You see, we get up in the morning, we open up our Bible and see what the Spirit of God has to say to the child of God through the Word of God. And then we ask the Lord to fill us with His Spirit. And then we go out that door and we walk by faith all day long. And when we exercise our faith in Christ, He releases that power in our life. Oh, does anybody know what I'm talking about here today? Listen, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And I think one of the reasons in my life when I look back and there was very little power going on in my is because I wasn't exercising much faith. You're men and women of faith. You are boys and girls of faith. And when you exercise your faith in Christ, He will supply the power. And can I tell you, we are at a junction. We are at a crossroad right now in our history here. And God's calling on us to stand by faith. And if we will look to Him by faith, I believe God will do great and mighty things that we've never seen Him do. We're fixing to replant this church out here in Kenwood. We need power to do that. And in order to receive that power, we've got to exercise faith. God wants to do something great down here on Riverside Drive. But we need power to see that come to fruition. But God has a plan. God's got a purpose. And he wants to take pleasure in our faith walking, if you will, so that He can give us that power to do what He wants to do. And then, bless God, one day He's going to reward us for doing what He asked us to do and giving us the resources to do it. You can't beat the Lord Jesus. Amen. Have mercy. So I don't know what God... I'm having trouble landing this plane, Thomas. I don't know how we're going to get done here. I'm having trouble getting to amen, but I want to say this. God's purpose, which is to make us more like His Son. That's our hope. And God wants to take pleasure. You are not some piece of junk. You are God's inheritance. You are one of His treasure chests of blessing. And if you will operate on the principles of faith, He will supply that power in your life to do what only He can do. Let's pray. Father, I don't even begin to understand what all You want to do with this message. But I pray, Father, that You would speak to our hearts all over this building. God, that You would minister life right now. And as we learn, Lord, anyone who's without Christ is without hope. And if there's one here today, or two, or ten, that's without Christ, oh, I pray today would be the day of salvation. And if you're listening online, you listen to this preacher. If you'd be willing to turn from your sin, agree with God that you're a sinner, and that Jesus is the Son of God and that He paid the price for all your sin, if you would by faith look to Him and trust Him and Him alone and ask Him to forgive you of your sin and trust your life to Him, listen, friend, He will receive you. You can be saved right where you sit, where you're listening, wherever you're watching, right here in this room today. It's not God's will that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance and to His Son. I want to pray for you. Maybe you're already saved. I think most of you probably are, most of you. But are you living out God's purposes for your life? Are you truly living out God's calling in your life? Father, give us the encouragement that we need this morning. Help us to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are Your people. And anyone that's not this morning, oh God, help them to turn to Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that during this really hard time in our city, in our nation, our state, that today the folks at Second Mile might sell out to your purpose of becoming more like Jesus, and that you would supply your power as we look to you through joy-filled eyes and ears of faith today. Just pray that this would be a time of seeking you and searching for you, and that we'd say yes in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.